You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, create generational wealth, and afford anything you want in life by investing in real estate. And in today's show, I'm going to be showing you how you can invest in real estate, how to get started. This is part two. If you didn't listen to part one, go back and listen to last week's. But this is part two, showing you how to invest in real estate and how to do it successfully. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? What's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. I am super excited about what's going on in the real estate market and how you can create income or become an income builder with the prices and interest rates that are going on right now. So recently, when I say recently, like 2 days ago, the Federal Reserve came out and said interest rates are going to stay the same. Ba-da-ba-da-ba! It's only staying the same. So that's the announcement. Is it is going to stay the same. They're not going to raise, they're not going to lower. So apparently President Trump is putting pressure on the Federal Reserve Chairman to lower interest rates. Well, the Federal Reserve Chairman's digging his heels in saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do what we think is best. Not saying either one's right or wrong. They're just, you know, going back and forth. I personally am looking forward for interest rates to go up even higher. Now you might be thinking, well, Dustin, why in the world do you want interest rates to go higher? Well, over the last, 4 or 5 years now, prices have skyrocketed, doubled in like 3 or 4 years, which is not normal. The normal thing is every 15 years, real estate doubles in price or value. So 20 years ago, let's say if you had a home that was $100,000 20 years ago. Well, let's say you had a home that was $200,000 15 years ago. Well, now it should be worth about $400,000. And you can easily see if you bought a home 15 years ago, it's doubled in value. Well, from that, it also in the last 3 or 4 years, because of inflation, because of all the money that they're printing and quantitative easing, quote unquote, is what it's called, quantitative easing, where they just print money and dump it into the system. Well, there's more money in the system. And also BlackRock, these Vanguard, all these big companies are getting the money from the federal government to buy real estate and pay over asking price. I mean, it's terrible what the government has been doing, but we do not let that stop us to invest in real estate. Even though the prices have just skyrocketed in the last, couple of years and interest rates are up, you might be thinking, well, Dustin, interest rates are high. You know, prices are high. I can't buy a property to invest in that's going to make me cash flow. Well, I absolutely am proof personally that you can. And on top of that, my daughter is. She's 16 years old. She just bought her first rental property. I think it's making $348 a month or something like that, you know, depending on if there's ever any more expenses or anything. But right now, on average, about $350 a month in passive income. And she bought it for $125,000. She got a loan on it, used her entire savings that we bought the property, and it's making that money in passive income. And about 4 or 5 months ago, I bought a single family home for $67,000. Yes, $67,000. But it needed a lot of work. I had a good contractor, probably could have spent $30,000 or $40,000, but with a good contractor, you know, I'm an investor, so I find the right people. We fixed it up for about $21,000. So we're out of pocket close to $90,000. Well, this home, I could literally resell it for $130,000, but I'm renting it for $1,300 a month, which I'm pocketing, I want to say $500 or $600 a month in cash flow. Now, I say all this, meaning, or not necessarily meaning, but like giving the perspective that the deals are out there. They're not as easy to come by like in 2012, 2013, 2014. They were so much easier to come by, but there's always great deals. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking all about the best time to best time to invest in real estate. I'm going to talk to you about how we make sure we're making money every single month. And here's a great thing. If you have a property that you're buying, you can rent it out in different ways. Like, meaning you don't just have to do long-term buy and hold where you have 12-month leases. There are different ways to make money. In fact, I personally have short-term properties. That's Airbnb. You know, you rent it out per night. I also have midterm properties. Those are 30, 60, or 90 days where they're staying for longer periods of time. And they are traveling executives, nurses, traveling nurses, things like that. Even baseball players. I had baseball players stay in my Peoria, Arizona house for spring ball. I want to say for 40 days, they paid like $4,800, almost $5,000 for 40 days. Just amazing. And so we buy and hold is what we do. We buy a property, we hold onto it, and then we can give those to our kids. In fact, now I'm not buying properties for myself anymore that are the $125,000, $150,000 homes. I'm having and helping my kids to buy those, but I'm playing Monopoly. I'm now buying $300,000, $400,000, and plus $1,000 homes, doing midterm rentals on it, doing short-term rentals, even long-term if the market is going to be well enough to where I'm making money. Because I'm playing Monopoly. I'm buying better properties. Now, the reason why I want interest rates to go up, the reason why is because I don't pay my interest. And obviously, I'm going to go into more in detail. I'm just going to give you a high-level overview of what we're talking about today. But when I buy one property, I don't pay my mortgage on any of my properties. I don't pay my taxes. I don't pay my insurance. I don't pay for repairs. I don't pay for my property managers or any of that stuff. No. I don't pay that. My tenants pay that. Now, it so happens that the money comes into me and then I go out and pay to my to all the bills, but I don't have to get a job to pay for all of these expenses. Interest rate. I make sure that the rents cover that mortgage payment. So I don't care if the interest rate is 9, 10%. Now, obviously, lower would be better, but as long as my numbers work, because remember, and I talk about this all the time last week, and if you haven't listened to last week's episode, we're building on, this is going to be a 3 or 4 week series on all this real estate investing, showing you how to do it literally from scratch. And when I buy a property, I make sure that I account for all those expenses before I buy it, and I make sure I make, as an expense line item, my $500 a month in passive income. That's an expense. It's not like I'm hoping to make money. Oh man, I'm getting a little deeper into this. Is more of I'm walking you through. I'm showing you, because the rest of this episode, I'm absolutely going to walk you through the rest of the process. All what 3 or 4 of these episodes in this one series, it's going to be showing from beginning to end how to invest in real estate. But I'm getting you hopefully excited to show you that you can do it. And even though you might be thinking, well, Dustin, it's so hard to find properties. No, honestly, like in my area, when I'm looking to buy a 300, 400, maybe getting closer to $500,000 homes, I'm seeing these homes sitting on the market for 90 days, 120 days. Prices are coming down because interest rates are not changing. There's only so long that these sellers can sit on these properties, meaning hold on to them, not sell them, and still make their mortgage payments before they have to get, you know, get a little more antsy and start lowering the prices. Or sadly, they might go into foreclosure, which will buy them off of them. And I just created a full course on creative financing, how to, and showing my students how to find these properties that are really, really low interest rates that we can take over the mortgage using creative financing, seller financing, subject to, all these different types of creative ways to get financing or creative ways to buy homes, and even how to find the properties that they are trying to sell, or, you know, the seller is trying to sell, so that they can get those off market. Now, I am coaching all this stuff at my mastermind retreat. It's 2 days or 2.5 days in Denver, Colorado. You need to be here with me and expert level investors, as well as other students of mine. I'm actually having my private mastermind guys, Michael Kwan, Tom Sylvester, and Adam Carroll. We're all going to be at our mastermind in Denver. It's in September, and we want you to be there. And we want you to be successful. It's going to be a small group. Check the link in the description, masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. If you go to masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind, you'll see everything we're doing, but it's going to be at September 19th through the 21st. People are flying out on the 22nd, but It's really maybe 20 people that I'm going to be coaching, all of my mastermind guys, my personal mastermind guys like Adam and Michael and Tom, be coaching. You're going to have hot seats where you're going to be sharing what you're, what's working for you, as well as how you can be helped. We're going to be doing so many great things at this mastermind. You're going to be blown away. This is life-changing stuff. In fact, my life gets changed every single time that I go to my mastermind and do something like this with a retreat. This is, honestly, I don't know how many more times I'm ever going to be able to do this again, because I want to start a ranch and kind of, you know, live off the land like the good Lord intended. But this is definitely a time. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. Love to have you there. And I want to pause for just a quick second and say thank you so much for listening to the show. If you've gotten anything out of the show, I would appreciate it if you went to anywhere that you listen to, say Apple or Spotify or wherever, and leave a 5-star review. Honestly, I really appreciate you leaving an honest review. I just love giving all this information out, and I want to see you succeed. Also, send this to one person. Just tell one person and say, hey, Dustin wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. You need to listen to this because it's going to change your life. Lastly, get my real estate investing course completely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, rental to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course showing you everything in the business so that you can become financially independent. As we're talking about how to start investing in real estate, quick recap of what we talked about last week. Last week, we talked about the 6 ways that real estate makes you money. We started from the very, very beginning so you understand why you should start investing in real estate. One of the best reasons is that there are 6 ways that real estate actually makes you money when you buy a rental property. I'll quickly go through them. Cash flow, that's monthly money coming into your pocket every single month. Equity capture, where you buy the property for more than it's worth and pocket the rest of that money, that in equity that is basically trapped inside your house that we can then pull out to buy more properties. Also, market appreciation, just over time, your property appreciates. Forced appreciation, you put some money and elbow grease and TLC into the property and it increases the value of the home. Also, your mortgage is paid by the tenants. That would be a mortgage buy down or pay down where your tenants pay for your principal and interest and all the expenses. It's fantastic. The last one is tax advantages. So many great tax advantages in investing in real estate. It actually puts money in your pocket, saves you from paying extra taxes, and you're not getting out of taxes, you're not like skirting the law or anything, but you're using the law to pay less in taxes. Here are a couple other awesome things about and reasons why you should invest in real estate rental properties. One, it's an automatic business. It runs itself. You hire people, they do the work for you so you don't have to work. A big one for me, this is one of the biggest reasons why I started investing in real estate was for financial freedom, financial independence, so that I can retire early so I didn't have to work ever again. Now, really quickly, moving on into what is not investing. In my opinion, not investing would be flipping. Flipping a house is not investing because you have to keep doing it over and over again to get your next payday. Same thing with wholesaling. You have to do it over and over again. Find a buyer, find a seller, match them up, and then you make money. Well, you got to do that over again. You're not a realtor. Realtors don't invest. They basically work a job. They make one sale, they make money. They don't make money if they don't sell. And so that's not what we want. We don't want to own a job. We want to have investments that make us money. The next thing, you want to get your financial house in order. You want to reduce expenses. You want to increase your income and eliminate debt. Debt is going to hurt you really, really bad. So get rid of all that stuff. So get your financial house in order. Next thing is buy your own house and stop renting. You want to have your own property that you can then tap into for equity. You have a place that eventually you'll own free and clear, so you won't have to make a mortgage payment or a rent payment or anything like that. So own your house. Also, you want to create investing goals. You want to create goals for yourself so you know what is your action items for the next step and where you're going to get to. So you create your goal, and then you work your way backwards from there to where you are now, and you have your actionable items. That's something I work with all my coaching students and help them to see, well, where do you want to get to? You know, you want to quit your job in 5 years? Well, let's buy properties in order to get you to quit in 5 years and be able to allow you to do that. Next one up is get real estate investing education. I cannot stress this enough. Getting education would have saved me $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in loss of income, loss of rents, evictions, all these problems that I could have foregone or not had, had I actually invested in education. So I want to encourage you that you need to get education. Keep listening to my podcast, read my books, go get my free book, and read all the articles that are on my site. If you want further education, I have that. Go to my site, the very, very top, look at courses, and it goes into coaching as well. So I can help you out there and more. Now let's get into what we're going to be talking about today to add on how to start investing in real estate. Now, the next step is to save for a down payment. A down payment on a property is going to allow you to buy a property for less than it's worth. When you get a mortgage, you're going to have to put money down, a down payment, a portion of the total purchase price. You're going to have to actually put as cash down. Now, there's many ways to come up with the cash for a down payment. There's many ways to have other people help you to make that money. So we need to look at every single way to save for a down payment. Now, I know if you're like me, you don't have much money. I did not have much money when I first got started. In fact, before I got married, I literally had zero in savings and I had credit card debt. Well, I didn't really have that much, maybe a couple thousand dollars, but I would pay that off every single month. But when I got married, I didn't bring anything to savings. Praise the Lord, my wife had a little bit of savings. We got a little bit of money for the wedding, and then we saved more money. And I saved up enough money to eventually buy my first property. Now, when you're looking at what you're going to need for a down payment, because I get this question a lot from lots of people, how much should I have to start investing? What it really comes down to is what are your goals? And this is as I'm working with students, helping them understand that your goals dictate how much money you're going to need for a down payment, what type of properties you're going to buy, how fast you're going to buy them, and all that good stuff. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And I wanted to show you that in saving for a down payment, it really depends on your goals. If you want to buy higher priced homes, you're going to need a larger down payment. If you want to buy your lesser priced homes, you're going to need a smaller down payment. And it really depends on what type of property you're going to buy because of what your goals are for your business. Now, in order to save for a down payment, there are many different ways. And this is why I talked about increasing your income and reducing your expenses, as well as eliminating debt. When you start knocking those out, you increase your ability to save money and you're able to start paying yourself first. This is something that I really want you to know and put it in your brain that you need to pay yourself first at minimum 10%. Now, if you're just getting started, pay yourself 5% or 1%. Just pay yourself something. And this is what I mean by pay yourself first. I know you might be thinking, well, my boss pays me or, the company pays me. So I make money. And so I'm getting paid first. Well, honestly, no. When you really break it all down, your money is basically already all spent. If you got a car payment, that money is already spent beforehand. Like you already have that debt that you got to pay off. If you have a rent or a mortgage, if you have a cell phone bill, if you have pay for internet for your house or cable TV or whatever type of expenses, even food, that is things that are going to be taking money out of your pocket, good or bad. It's just taking money out of your pocket that you cannot invest. When you pay yourself first, you are putting money into an account, a savings account that you can hopefully be earning interest. I'll give that to you in just a second. You'll be earning interest to where then you can have a savings so that when it's time to buy a property, you have money saved up for the down payment. Now, if you already have money and you're already saving money, I would strongly recommend you putting into account that makes you, 1 to 2 or 3% or something like that. You want to make it liquid. Liquid means you can get to it at any given time, just like a checking account. You can go in and pull that money out at any time. If you put it into a CD, you buy a stock, you put it in a mutual fund or something like that, it's going to be harder to get to. Now, if you're not going to touch it for a couple of years, then maybe that's okay. But I'm always ready to have a deal come across my desk and I jump on it because I have the money liquid or ready to invest. So I would strongly encourage you to find a bank account. So as you are paying yourself first, you want to take out 10% of your paycheck. So for round numbers, if you're making $2,000 a paycheck, let's say you're going to make $2,000 a paycheck, you want to take $200 before anything else is paid. So you want to live on $1,800 of that. So you put $200 in your savings account and keep saving that money. Force yourself to do that every single month. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I do with my kids. And it's been ever since they've been born. I've been grilling and drilling it into them, how they can actually be saving their money now as opposed to waiting. So every bit of money that they receive from a birthday present, you know, if birthday money that they get, or if they do, you know, yard work, or if they make, whatever money they make, I force them and I walk them through where I help them to take out 50% of everything they make. They can't just go spend it. 50% of it goes directly into savings. I also work with them and show them 10% goes to God, 20% goes to mommy to help pay for electricity and you know everything else, and 20% they get to keep themselves and spend. And so like my daughter, I think she has close to $620, I think. Yeah. And my son has like $630 and, you know, and so on. So the, as they make money, they are saving 50% of that. Even if they just save, you know, half that, if they save 25% because they're used to 50 and they, you know, that's just too much, I'm going to cut it down to 25. Well, it's more than 0%. It's more than 5%. It's more than 10%. And so they're realizing that they can make a lot more money. And also one great thing that I do is I put it in a bank account. Each one of them have their own separate bank account where all their savings go into it. And they can see how much money they make every single month. Like this last month, my daughter made like 40 cents and my son made like 42 cents or something like that. You know, it's for them, it's a lot of money. And they're like, man, I didn't do anything. I made money. That's fantastic. So they're wanting to put more and more money into savings. And I want to see that for you. I want to see you want to put more money in savings because you're seeing the value that it brings. Hey, this money in savings, I'm going to be making money on. And number two, then I could then buy a property that I can make even more and more money on. So that's what I want you. Start saving for investing by paying yourself first. Next one, if you, as you're building your business, you come across a good deal, well, it may be that you need to ask your friends and family to invest with you. It could be getting a loan. I've done this a couple times when I was first starting my business. I talked to my dad who had a little bit of, or actually a good amount of savings. I said, hey, dad, can I have some money? He goes, no, I'm not going to give you money. Why would I give you money? Like, because I'm your son. He goes, that doesn't work like that. So he actually loaned me money. And what was funny is the interest rates at the time were like 3%, 3.5%. He loaned it to me, his own son, at like 9%. He's like, well, I can make that in the stock market or mutual funds, so I'm going to charge you that. I'm like, well, thanks, Dad. Well, anyways, praise the Lord. He lent it to me. And it actually, you know, even though I was paying him 9% or whatever, I think it was like 8 or 9%, I was still making like on his money that I borrowed, I think I was making like $400 on it. So I was easily making money. And then I eventually paid him off and it was great. But so I even just asked my dad, hey, can I borrow some money? And he loaned it to me, which was great. You may not have that, but maybe you can look for friends or other family members or something like that. Just giving you options. Now, I know it's hard. I know it's awkward to ask people if they want to invest with you or loan you money. I completely understand that. But what you want to do is you want to show them the deal. So as you're going to be approaching them, this is a big pro tip I'm going to be giving you. Don't just say, hey, I'm going to buy a property and make money on it. Can you give me money or loan, or would you please loan me money? Don't say that. Tell them about the deal. Make sure that they understand the numbers as well as you do, where the property's at, how much you're going to be making every single month, what the mortgage is going to be, how much the expenses are, how much your income is. Make them understand that you absolutely know this business inside and out. You know your numbers. You are trustworthy to have their money. Now, you're going to give them a signed note, basically a paperwork saying that they're loaning you money at a certain interest rate and you're going to pay them back. And, you know, it's just like if you're getting a mortgage or a car note or something like that. So it's held up in court if they actually need to take you to court. Lord willing, it's not going to happen or come to that. But you're going to be able to ask them. And with showing them as much information as they need to feel comfortable, that's the thing with investors. They, number one, want to feel comfortable that you are not going to lose their money. That's the first and foremost. They don't want to lose their money. The second thing is they want to make sure they're going to make money. So you got to make them feel comfortable and also show them how they're going to make money. All right. So that's when you're asking your friends and family to invest with you. I personally, this is just me, would recommend to not get partners. Don't like, hey, you be my partner and we'll split the money 50-50, or, you know, all the total equity and how much money comes in. Like, I personally would not do that. This business is just fine if you can do it on your own. It's so much better if you do it on your own. I personally will never, ever have a partner. I have people asking me all the time, hey, would you, you know, partner in deals and or work with me and you know, well, partner? Yeah, like, absolutely not. I have never had partners in my real estate business, and I will never have partners. I've had many partners in other businesses, and those don't go very well because you have 100% of liability, but you only get half of the profits. It's not worth it, in my opinion. And you can do this business without having a partner. So don't get a partner, just get investors or people that loan you money. And I'm gonna re-say this one more time because it's very important. In getting your financial house in order, you need to cut your expenses and you also need to increase your income. You wanna make sure that your money that is coming into your pocket is staying in your pocket, and then also put more money in your pocket. I gotta tell you that as you invest, you're gonna find that is so much easier to buy properties when you have money. When you have money to buy properties, it's so much easier than trying to get, you know, asking other people to give you money or getting a bigger loan than you could actually afford, you know, your down payment. It's just so much easier when you have cash. And it's also so much easier to buy a property with all cash. As you build the business and you're able to scale the business even more, you'll be able to do the BRRRR refinance strategy. And here is how it's broken down. Basically, you buy the property, you rehab the property, you get it rented, then you refinance and pull all the money back out, and then you repeat the whole process. You do it all over again. I've done that so many times, and it has grown my business dramatically because I've used and recycled that money over and over again. So when you have cash, when you pay yourself first, when you increase your income and cut expenses, you have more money to invest, and it makes business so, so much easier. Now, one last one I'm going to give you is you can also, another way to do it, if you already have a home, you can refinance your property or get a home equity line of credit, pull money out of your home, like basically the equity, you know, if the property is worth $200,000, but you only owe $100,000, that's $100,000 in equity. That's money that you can tap into to buy a property. Now, I've done that so many times where I pulled money out of my home, bought a rental property. Now, that increase in mortgage payment, because I took money out of my house, I bought one property with part of that money that paid for that increase in mortgage payment. Then I bought two more properties with the balance of that money, and then I made $250 or more for each of those properties. So I think I was pocketing like $600 after the whole deal of pulling money out, $600 or $700. It was every single time I do it, it's absolutely fantastic. So you can refinance and take money out of your home to use it for investing. Now, after you look at saving for a down payment, here's the next step that you're going to need to do. This is the process of getting started investing. You need to choose what type of properties you will invest in. Isn't that huge? I mean, it's very, very huge. You need to choose what type of property, because I get so many people asking me, well, where should I buy? What type of property should I buy? Is this a good property? Is that a good property? Well, it really depends on your goals and what you want to do with your business and how quickly you want to grow, how much debt and leverage you're able to, or like risk tolerance, how much you are willing to put on you in debt or leverage against a property, which remember your tenants are paying for, how much do you want to actually have in your name? So there's so many different things that we need to account for in figuring out what type of properties to choose. Now, with all my coaching students, I work through and help them to understand which properties are going to be the best that you want to pick for the goals that you've made for yourself. But here's a quick list that I'm going to walk through with you to show you what type of properties you might want to buy. Number one, you might want to go with lower priced homes, you know, anything from $20,000 to $50,000. That's right. There are properties that are worth $20,000. You can pick them up for $20,000. Not saying you might want actually to own them, but there are properties for $20,000 up to $50,000, $60,000, $75,000. Those are lower priced homes. Now, more than likely, they're older homes. Their older homes have a lot more work and maintenance and repairs that are needed, you know, deferred maintenance on the property. So you're going to be putting a little more money into it on a monthly or yearly basis than you would a brand new or a newer home. But a great thing is there is high cash flow on these lower priced homes because the prices are lower, rents are still adequately high. Like, I'll give you an example. In the Midwest, you can probably buy a home for $25,000, $30,000, and it would make about $650 a month in rent. Well, if you pencil everything out, you should probably be making about $400 a month in passive income. So imagine if you put $30,000 on a property and it returned you $400 a month. Wouldn't that be fantastic? If you were making $400 a month from that one property, you put $30,000 down, after just a little over 6 years, 6 years and a couple months, you're going to have all your entire investment back in your pocket, and then you are going to be making all that money is going to be profit and bonus money. So another 6 years, you're going to have $30,000 in your pocket. The prices of these homes are lower, but rents are higher, which is terrific. Now, there are some more downfalls, you know, with other on top of having more maintenance and things that you're going to have on a monthly and yearly basis. Now, another thing is the type of clientele, the type of customers you're going to have are probably going to have a higher turnover of tenants. Like every once a year or a year and a half, or maybe even 6 months, a tenant might move out or they might get evicted. They might lose their job. Their boyfriend might break up to them or whatever it might be, and they're going to move out. So I've just found that with the lower priced homes, the clientele you're going to have are going to be a little more transient. They move a lot sooner, a lot faster. Now, I have definitely found ways to mitigate that, to make sure that you don't have people move out, screening tenants, finding the right tenants, making sure they have adequate credit and do background check and all that good stuff. So in these areas, though, you could potentially have a higher turnover of tenants. And a big one is that you want to make sure, and I'll be a huge pro tip, is background check every single person. In these lower priced homes, as well as the next ones, any priced homes, any type of home you rent out, make sure you run a background check and make the tenant pay for the background check. That's a huge pro tip I'm going to give you. Definitely do a background check. Now, the next thing of what type of property you're going to invest in are higher priced homes. Higher priced homes are usually a little newer, better areas. You're going to have better clientele and people that are going to want to live in your properties. And so there's a difference in what you're going to be making, though. So in the higher priced homes are usually newer. There's going to be a lower cash flow because the higher priced homes, more than likely, you're going to need to get a mortgage on the property. You're going to put a down payment. You're going to get a mortgage. Well, that mortgage, that's principal and interest, is going to have to get paid because you're not paying the property outright. But the great thing is your tenant is going to be paying the principal and interest and all the other expenses. So you don't have to worry about that necessarily. Now, with having that high mortgage or that mortgage in general, you're going to have less in cash flow. So I'm going to give you this huge pro tip. And I've said this many times. If you've been listening to the podcast at all, I say this all the time. You want to invest where you make a minimum of $250 every single month on every property. And I would say do not buy a property unless you are making $250 or more a month, because there are so many things that can happen in your property in 1 year that if you only make like $50 or $100 a month, your whole yearly profit could be eaten up. Like if a furnace goes out or a roof goes out or something like that, it's all going to be eaten up. And you want to make sure you have adequate enough money coming in order to pay for it. Now, I know people are going to say, well, it's hard to find properties that make $250 a month. Yes, I know. If it were easy and if this whole business was easy, everybody would be doing it. I wouldn't need to do this podcast because it'd be like, hey, let's go see if I could find some sand and sell it to somebody. Well, let's just go to the beach, find some sand and sell it. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. That's why it's hard. And that's why it's hard for us to find deals. But it's on us as investors to find those deals. And honestly, they're a lot easier when you know the tricks of the trade to actually do that. Okay, so with those higher priced homes, you have newer homes with lower cash flow, higher mortgage. You also have lower turnover of tenants, which are really, really good. You're going to have people are going to stay there for two or three or more years. I have one property in Houston. Just like last week, I got a text from the tenant saying, hey, 2 years is up. And man, it's been that long. We got to renew the lease. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. Let's go ahead and renew the lease. And so 2 years went by so fast, and it's a newer, you know, really, really nice home. And so I'm really glad that they're wanting to stay in there. Now, also with these higher price homes, you're also going to have lower maintenance costs because they're newer homes, because there's less things that are getting older that are going to get broken or worn down or anything like that. So in choosing what type of homes and what type of properties you're going to go after, you have a lower priced home. You also have a high priced home, but there's also a middle of the road, like $100,000 homes that you can invest in. Those are usually pretty solid homes. You are going to get a mortgage, but they're not going to be a high price point mortgage, but you're going to have right in the middle there, like it's going to be not very, very new. It's going to be a little bit older. Your cash flow is going to be right around in the middle. Rents are still relatively high compared to how much you're buying it for. You're going to have a lower mortgage. You're also going to have a little bit higher cash flow than when the higher properties. You're going to have a middle of the road. Basically, everything's in the middle. I mean, it's really goes down to your tenants aren't going to move out as much. They're not going to stay as long. And so they're right in the middle. But the great thing is they're also very low maintenance because they're not that old of homes. Okay. Now, next step that I'm going to give you is after you have basically yourself, like everything about you, the money situated, you're saving money, you're paying yourself first, you're cutting expenses, you know your goals, you know what type of properties you're going to buy. Once you've gone through everything we talked about in last episode and this episode, now it's ready. Now you are ready to look at an area to invest in the country. Now, a lot of people would say, you know, I can't buy rental properties. I live in LA and prices are ridiculous. You know, I could buy a property for $600,000 and it rents for $2,000. There's no way I'm going to make any money. I said, yes, you're absolutely right. That's why I moved out of California. I live in Phoenix now. Now, what I would suggest is looking in an area of the country where you can buy properties that are going to make you money. And here I'm going to give you a general area that you're going to be able to look for and be able to find a state, then find a city, then find a neighborhood and start buying. I would suggest looking in the Midwest to maybe the lower southern east, like down into Florida. There are some good areas. Now, there are some really rich and really expensive areas. Don't get me wrong. There's places you shouldn't buy, but you're going to find good properties like right in the middle of the road, $100,000 to $120,000 homes. You're probably going to be able to make at least $250, maybe $300 a month on these properties. So look in the Midwest on to the east. You know, don't go northeast like to, Washington, D.C. and all that sort of stuff. Go down south, the Carolinas and Floridas. Look all in that area. Those are some good places to start investing. Now, when you're finding an area of the country to invest in, there are many, many things you're going to be looking for. Many, many things like, what is the population like? Are there people in the area that are staying or are people leaving? Like, what's the migration habits? Are people leaving or are they staying? Are companies moving in? Are companies going out? Is it a state that is heavily regulated where there's lots of laws and lots of taxes that people don't want to live there anymore? They're fleeing out of it. Like New York, so many people are moving from New York to Florida because probably weather, and that's probably one, but also taxes. Taxes are so ridiculously expensive in New York. Same thing like California. People are moving out of California into places like Nevada, Arizona, and Texas because taxes are so much cheaper. And so you want to find an area of the country that has a decent amount of, not like, you want more net migration coming in as opposed to net migration going out. So that's one thing to look at. Another thing to look at is as you're honing down in the specific city, you want to find a city that has similar price points on all their properties in one area. So let me give you a reason why. Let's say you find a great property in a great area and you're like, man, this is a great, great property. Now, I'm not telling you not to buy it. I'm just giving you a little understanding that if you find one like gem in the middle of nowhere, like not nowhere, it's $1 million homes and you buy it for, you know, $500,000, or they're $200,000 homes. You buy it for $100,000. Basically, you get a really, really good deal, but you can't find any other properties that are like it. You're going to be set up an entire business just for one property, which is a lot of work. Not saying don't do that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't do that. But what I want to encourage you to do is to find an area of the country where you can build a business. You can build it up from the ground up where people work for you, and then you can continually find more properties in that same area instead of trying to find a whole new state to invest in, whole new city to invest in, and a whole new property manager and get everything figured out which parts of the city are better to invest in. So what I'm saying is definitely go after those good deals, but as best you can, try to stay in areas that have similar properties that you can just keep buying more of that inventory. If you've listened to other podcasts where I talk about, you set up your business just like a convenience store, and like one candy bar is like one property. It's one piece of inventory you put in your business. One property is one piece of inventory you put in your business. You want to continually have that business grow of inventory so more people can find you and pay you money to live in their property. Now, as you're finding another area to invest in, You want to look at crime and the areas of crime in the city that are bigger than others, worse than others. And here is the biggest thing, and I'm going to tell you, and I get a lot of students that say, hey, what about this property? And my first question is always, what did your property manager say about that property? And if my student comes back and says, well, I didn't talk to the property manager about it yet, I said, don't talk to me until you talk to them. Because number one, I don't know the area. I don't know if it's a good or bad area. Number two, I don't know if that's a good or right amount of rent that you think you could charge for. It could be good. It could be wrong or bad. It could be something where you're way overestimating. So anyways, talk to your property manager first. Now, here's a big tip. If your property manager says, well, I won't manage properties there because it's too hard or too rough of an area, too much crime or whatever, if they're not going to manage that property, you might want to think about not buying that property, because if nobody's going to manage it for you, you know, and you're in another state and you're having somebody else manage it, well, if you can't have somebody manage it because it's in a rough area, then don't buy it because it's not going to work out in your benefit. So talk to your property managers. That's the biggest key I'm going to give you. So as you're finding a new area of the country to invest, you want to be talking to property managers. Now, another thing that you could be looking for is amenities and things that are going on in that area that you are investing. It could be like, hey, you're investing in Orlando, Florida, which is not a bad place to invest in. And there are plenty of attractions like Disney World, Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, all that great stuff. And people would actually come and visit. So you can potentially do an Airbnb, where you are renting it out per day as opposed to per month, which is another great option. It's a whole nother business model, but you get my point. If you have a good area to invest where people want to live by, or it's in an area where they have big companies that need employees, like a GM plant or a Toyota plant where they actually make the Toyota cars or whatever. You know, you want to have a place where people want to live because there's business or there's attractions or there's something that's drawing people to actually live there. Now, I will say that you can find great areas all over the Midwest down into the southern, you know, portion of America, getting down to Florida. And so be looking at all of these areas for these great ways and reasons why you should start investing in those cities. And this next point in where to look at in the country goes back to what we just talked about a few minutes ago, is the price point. What is your goal, which then translates into or goes into what type of price points you're going to have in your properties. And then that is what's going to dictate what you're looking for in a city. You know, if you're looking for middle of the road, like $100,000 homes, well, if you're finding properties that are $20,000 homes, well, it doesn't really fit your goal. It might be good area and it might be a great place to invest, but you just got to have to look into that. What are my goals? What are the type of properties that are going to help me get to my goal the fastest? And then where in the country do I find those properties and start honing down on those properties in those cities? So that's what I want to give you, is start looking at. Now, you might be asking me, well, Dustin, how do I actually find these properties? Well, a quick and easy one, I have Zillow.com is a great tool that I've used all the time. I even have a video that I created that I will show you and walk you through how to actually use Zillow and use my rental property cash flow calculator on my website to figure out if this property is a good property, how much money am I making every single month, and basically run all the numbers for you. Okay, now today we've talked so much about how to start investing. Next week, we're going to pick it back up because there's so much more to discuss on how to start investing in real estate rental properties. Now get out there, get your free book. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/free book. I want to put that in your hands. I want you to change your life forever so you never have to work a job again. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Travel the world, do whatever you want, buy the things that you want instead of the things that you need, being able to not worry about bills anymore, take care of your family. I want that for you. So get my free book. Now, you guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for being here with me. I'll see you guys next week where we'll continue on how to start investing in real estate rental properties, and we will pick it back up next week. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves. See ya. And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.